I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Asheville Citizen Times reporter Joel Burgess. Joel, thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
So we'll take a look at these council election results right now. VJ Kapoor, Shanika Smith, Gwen Whistler, they're the winners of the six. Why those three?
Well, it was interesting because the primary did not, the change between the primary and general election didn't offer us really anything. The in 2015 elections had a real mix-up and a lot of changes from the, or several changes from the primary to the general election. This one did not. These were the top three candidates also from the October 10th primary. And Kapoor won the primary by a wide margin, 1,500 votes, and you know, he won this by over 1,000 votes, the general election. And a lot of it was this just new wave of support that came out of South Asheville. He was a voice for a lot of the frustrations in South Asheville over growth, over development, over traffic. So that was Kapoor. And then Shanika Smith, it was very interesting. She won the endorsement of both Kapoor and Mayor Esther Mannheimer. And a lot of people, I think, heard her message about gentrification concerns, about racial equity, and it resonated with people. And it obviously resonated with more than just African-American voters. She won precincts that just have a lot of white voters in the North, although Smith also did win the precincts in Asheville that have the highest number of black voters. Gwen Whistler hung on to retain her seat. She was the one incumbent. She is the vice mayor. That's a position selected internally by council members. She was very popular when she was elected in 2013. She was the top vote getter, but she got third this time. So she actually expressed some nervousness, or said she had been nervous and was relieved by the election. So I think Whistler was also endorsed by Kapoor and was endorsed by the mayor. And it was interesting because while she did not win any precincts, she did do well in different precincts, including in South Asheville in the Robertson district, kind of near the home turf of Kapoor. So it does raise the question of the effectiveness of that endorsement. The idea being, yes, it was. Whistler's a former CEO of some corporations, including Coleman Corporation. And also she's taken some pretty strong stances pushing back against hotel development and short-term rentals.
Kapoor will be the first Asian-American member of Asheville City Council. Shanika Smith's victory means there will be two African-Americans on Asheville City Council for the first time in, I believe you said, more than two decades. This comes at a time, though, as the black population in the city is dwindling to historic lows. What can you say about the diverse makeup now of the council? And what does it say about the electorate that this is now the makeup of the council?
It is fascinating because the points that you went over, first of all, the fact that we actually had two Asian-Americans run in the primary for the first time, you know, and we hadn't had an Asian American candidate before that. And the other one was Pratik Bhakta, who lost in the primary. He was a South Asheville hotelier, kind of on the different side of the argument from all the other candidates, or almost all the other candidates. And then Vijay Kapoor, whose mother is actually from Poland and whose father is from India, but he said he considers himself Asian American. And, you know, he talked a little about that, and people can actually look. We have a Q&A that was done by reporter Jennifer Bowman on our website, citizentimes.com. And I think in some ways he sort of looked beyond that. But at the same time, he did say he had people, you know, Asian Americans, people of Indian descent coming up to him and saying, it's nice to see somebody like me on the council. In terms of African Americans, you touched on, I think, the most interesting and remarkable part of the situation is that the between the last two points of the census, the last 10 years when we had censuses done, the black population shrank. And but despite that, we've got we will have not one but two black council members, the other one being Keith Young, who was elected in 2015, and now Smith. And the last time that happened was 26 years ago when we had Eugene Ellison and Wilhelmina Bratton. So what does that say about the electorate? It seems to say that it's important. Diversity is important to all voters beyond just black voters, and also that that Smith's message resonated, this idea that people are concerned about gentrification and are concerned about maybe some of the most vulnerable populations in the city. And also probably that the endorsement of the mayor and the endorsement of Kapoor mattered.
Now that we know who will be on the next council, the next six, with Mayor Esther Mannheimer, who won an easy reelection also this week, what sorts of issues will be brought up quickly with this council, and how might they differ from what we've seen the past few years on these particular issues? Because the issues don't really change. They just now, some have more of a significance or resurgence of significance. How might we see some differences?
Right. And to be fair, there have been, you know, a few new things that were brought up by some of the candidates that may be pushed toward the center. Honestly, I'm still reporting some of this stuff and still interviewing candidates and council members and counting votes. But the places where I have questions and where I suspect and think there will be changes are with regulations on short-term rentals. And, you know, maybe that's going to go both ways, tightening and loosening of rules. The area that we've known so long is the Pit of Despair, 68 Haywood Street. It did not play a big part in this election, which was different from 2015 when there was really a big fight over that piece of land. There may be some changes in terms of council direction on that. Transit, there's people that seem to be getting behind an idea about a free system. So we'll have to see if that's possible. There may be a majority to support that. And then one of these newer issues that has come up is this idea of five-year budgeting. It sounds very wonky. I think people's eyes might glaze over when you talk about it, but it was a big point for Kapoor, who by trade is a consultant for municipalities on finances and economics and budgeting. And I guess he has seen this process done in this way and other towns and cities where budgets aren't just done for a year in advance, but literally the numbers are put there for 5 years. Now, to be fair, the city does have long-term plans. It does have long-term capital plans, typically, is what it does. But it doesn't really try to, the staff there, I haven't seen them really try to cement the numbers, you know, year to year. It's arguable that that's about transparency, that it's about showing people, you know, what is going to happen. I'm sure it's hard because, in a way, there's some crystal ball gazing. And it's extra work for the staff. So I could see how, in some ways, why it wasn't done, and it paints them possibly into some corners. But that is something that Kapoor has pushed, and it will be interesting to see what that does and how that helps council members make decisions about where to spend money and maybe where to cut fees and taxes.
Something else was on the ballot. That was the district's referendum. By a 3-1 margin, voters said no to it. But the sponsor of the bill in the General Assembly, Republican Chuck Edwards, said it isn't optional. The vote doesn't matter. The city has to follow the state law, which supersedes whatever voters decided. Is there a possible legal avenue for the city right now to fight this in court? Will we be seeing city council districts in 2 years, and will this be the last, this past election be the last one of just at-large seats?
That is an excellent question, and the one that we all want to know the answer about to that question, which is, will there be districts? Will the city be split up by the state into these six separate districts where just residents of that each district get to elect one member? That was the law that was passed back in June, and the law that is supposed to take effect in 2019. This was a strange and interesting and confusing ballot measure where essentially the city council said, well, let's ask the voters what they think about this state law. It was done in sort of a convoluted way, but I guess people got the message because they said no. They said no, as you said, 75% to 25%. The council members have been cagey about what it means, what it will mean now that residents voted it down. The mayor has said that she hopes that the General Assembly will look at this and say, oh, gosh, that was a bad idea. Let's just take it back. It's been said too by candidates and others that this is a buildup for legal action by the city. And then another interesting argument that the mayor is putting forward is that this, in fact, was a legally binding referendum. And that's kind of a new thing that she's been talking about. The mayor, by the way, is an attorney, and she has in past work years and years ago, she worked in the General Assembly. So she knows her way around state laws. And so it feels like a legal argument that's being built up. So, you know, to answer your question, will there be districts? We don't know. Will the city fight it? That's what it's looking like. And again, it's important to note that the sponsor of the bill, as you said, it seems like he's willing to push back against the city.
Joel Burgess, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
It was great to be here.